Ngayon ay 23 mula nung nangyari ang February 22, 1986. Yung gabing yon ay inagtawag ng press conference si dating Defense Minister Juan Ponce Enrile, ministries pa noon. And then sumama ang Chief of Staff noon, Acting Chief of Staff, General Fidel Ramos, at naglunsad sila ng pag-aalsa ng militar sa rehimeng Marcos, at ito ay nauwi sa tinatawag nating People Power Revolution na siyang inaalala ng ating bansa simula ngayon. Siguro ilagay natin sa konteksto ng kasaysayan, alam natin doon sa mga naroon na at yung ibang kayong mga bata pa, ito'y history na sa inyo. Sa aming mga naroon ay kasama sa aming lifetime. Well, alam natin ng pinakaugat nito, September 21, 1972. Ano yan? Martial law. Dahil laganap na laganap noon ang mga activism, yung mga rallies kabi-kabila, at malaganap rin ang rebellion ng New People's Army, at nandun pa ang gyera sa Kamindanawan, itong ginamit na excuse ni Ferdinand Marcos para igawad ang batas militar. Naalala ko noon ako, grade 5, tuwan-tuwa kami dahil one week na walang klase. dahil nga nag-martial law, yun lang naalala ko. Wala akong hindi ko alam ano ba yung martial law. Basta masaya at walang klase ng isang linggo. At kamukat-mukat mo nung kami bumalik na, mga bagong lipunan na ang aming naririnig. Well, that was martial law, and because of martial law, sinuspindi yung mga bagay na simpleng rights ng isang malayang bansa. Marcos could arrest anybody without any due process. He could consign them to prison. They could be detained without any due process. Sa isang malayang bansa, hindi mo pwedeng gawin yun. Kinakailangan magkaroon ka ng talagang batayan. At ito'y kinakailangan may arrest order na sinang-ayunan ng korte. So yung mga yun ay nawala nung martial law, at yan ay ginamit ni Marcos sa kanyang makasariling paraan. And in fact, in the first year, sinasabi nila, in the first few months of martial law, it appeared to be working. Biglang naging disiplinado yung mga tao. Naalala ko yung para sa ikauunlad ng bayan, disiplina ang kailangan. Ay, laging ipinupukpok yun sa media, television, radio, at iba't iba pang pamamahayag. Merong isang sikat na radio announcer noon na niloko yung salitang niya. Sinabi niya, para sa ikaunlad ng bayan, bisikleta ang kailangan. Pinaaresto siya ni Marcos, pinagbisikleta, katakot-takot doon sa krami. Makikita natin yung kapangyarihan ni Marcos noon talaga. At first, it seemed to be working until cronyism entered the picture. So, yan ang sinasabi ng Puritan view, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And naisip ko kuminsan, by way of review of history, what if Marcos, although he was a dictator, was a benevolent dictator like in the mold of Lee Kuan Yew? Eh siguro Singapore tayo ngayon. Dahil nasa kanya yung kapangyarihan. Kung talagang ginamit lamang niya para sa mabuting mga bagay, nasa kanya ang lahat. If we could have improved and really progressed a lot, I would not have minded so much that he was a dictator if he only used his dictatorial powers for the good of the country. But the fact is, he did not. So, diyan pumasok yung mga kronyismo at iba pang mga abuso ng panahon yun hanggang sa August 21, 1983. Ano yan? Ninoy. Assassination. Naalala ko pa rin yan. Ginising ako ng Lunes ng umagang umaga ng mga kasama ko sa Villegas. Single pa rin ako noon. Ha? Pinakita sa akin yung headline ng bulletin yata, yung dyaryo namin noon. pinakita yung headline, Ninoy assassinated. Eh, there was a sensation all over the country that Ninoy was coming on August 21, 1983. And ako'y gustong-gusto kong marinig yung balita. Yun ang tumambad sa akin the following day. So, nagkagulo. At dyan, nagkaroon ng lakas ng loob ang mga tao na magpakita muli ng kanilang oposisyon sa rehimeng Marcos. Yung libing ni Ninoy was for 10 hours na march doon sa kanyang libingan. It was covered by international media. It was something unseen for until that time, hindi nakita yung ganung karaming tao na nagbamarch sa laban kay Marcos. At mula noon ay sunod-sunod na yung rally. At dyan umasok yung mga tema ng hindi ka nag-iisa. And of course, with that, ay malakas ang naging pressure kay Marcos, kung kaya tumawag siya ng isang snap election na nangyari February 7, 1986. So yan yung snap election na kanyang ipinatawag, and that will become the fateful yan yung naging mitsa ng mga magkakasunod-sunod na mga pangyayari. So yung mga pangunahing mga tauhan dyan sa People Power Revolution, siyempre andyan si Marcos, the antagonist, kumbaga, ng panahong yun, the villain for many people. And then, on the other end, was the bida of that period in the person of Cory Aquino. And of course, there's something poetic here. Ninoy was assassinated and the widow came into the place of Ninoy Aquino. Something poetic, and it was beautiful to look at. Just the idea, of course we had no idea what Cory was like, but just the idea that the fallen hero would be replaced by his widow, something poetic about it, and many bought into it. So Cory, well, my favorite then was Doy Laurel. He was not given the credit due to him, I believe. He had the organization on, the UNIDO, yung United Opposition, kanyang organisasyon, kung talagang itinuloy niya, ay pwedeng siya ang talagang kalaban ni Marcos, but he gave in to Cory. And I believe he was not given due credit for that. If he did not give in, the opposition would have been trounced legally by Marcos. But because Doy Laurel gave in to Cory, then history was made. And sadly, until his dying day, Doy was not given due credit for that. But I honor him for that act. And of course, you have Enrile, Marcos's defense minister at that time. Ramos was the acting chief of staff. Alala nyo na because of the Agrava Commission as a result of the Ninoy Aquino assassination, ay sinabi ng Agrava Commission that the guilty parties included the then chief of staff, Fabian Ver. And then you have the dashing personality of that period in the person of Gringo Honansen. And also, a legitimate hero of that period was Cardinal Sin. So ano yung mga susing pangyayari doon? Well, during the snap election, perhaps Marcos did not count on the real anger that was then very palpable in the citizenry. So nung tumawag siya, siguro hindi niya akalain na magkakaroon ng National Citizens Movement for Free Election. Yan yung NAMFREL. Hindi bago yung NAMFREL, ginamit na yun nung panahon ni Magsaysay. Pero ginising muli nung panahon ni Marcos na tumawag siya ng snap election. Ako'y sumali dyan nung panahon yun. I had a secret mission that I will carry to my grave. Will never be revealed. But I was part of it. So yung NAMFREL, alala ko rin yung kanilang napakagandang slogan. It is better to light a candle than curse the darkness. And that's still a very good thought. Na kung meron kasing movement noon na boycott. Boycott the election. Dadayain lang tayo ni Marcos. And it was Ninoy Aquino ang it was the opposition na nagpumilit na mag-participate doon sa snap election. And ang resulta noon, of course, was, we believe, the victory of Cory and Doy ticket. Pero as expected, eh, dinaya. Grabe yung talagang garapalang dayaan nung panahon na yun. And of course, the result was a more intense anger of the citizenry. Ito ngayon ang na-exploit ng military. There was already the RAM, the Reform the Armed Forces Movement at this time. And so, the RAM headed by Gringo Honasan initiated a coup d'etat against Marcos, pero they were caught, actually. Nahuli yung isa nilang kasama, and they were caught. And it was because they were caught that Enrile called that press conference on that fateful night of February 22, 1986. So yung mga nagre-revise ng history na para bang silang-sila yung bida, they initiated it. We cannot take that away from them. They initiated it, yung coup d'etat, but they were actually caught. And they would have been punished irreversibly were it not doon sa press conference na yon. Siyempre, hindi sila agad mabanata ni Marcos because there was the presence of the international press. At doon sa gabi yun, this was the fateful night. Iniisip ng mga analysts later, if Marcos bombed Aguinaldo at this point, this evening ng 22, it would have been over. And Marcos could have continued reigning. But for whatever reason, Marcos relented. Itong si Ver ang talagang gusto niyang bombahin. Perhaps he was thinking militarily. Well, whatever pushed Marcos, on this fateful evening of February 22, 1986, he relented. He did not bomb Aguinaldo, which is the thing to do in a classic coup d'etat. No mercy. Dito, hindi ginawa ni Marcos. Well, isa pang nangyari dito, isang key incident was the PICC walkout. Nagbibilang yung mga tao roon, and then it was becoming obvious that cheating was happening in a very rampant way, garapalang dayaan. At yung nangyari, yung mga computer workers dito sa PICC ay gumawa ng isang mass walkout. And again, that was a key event na nangyari nung panahon, mga kababaihan ng karamihan doon na nag-walk out on the COMELEC. And that was another key incident. And then, of course, yun ang Enrile Ramos press conference. And that night, the legitimate hero of that People Power Revolution, Cardinal Sin, went on Veritas. And I was listening all night nung gabing yun. Cardinal Sin called for the people to barricade Aguinaldo. And people came by a few hundreds pa lang sa first evening. Siyempre, they were testing whether Marcos will actually bomb yung Aguinaldo at that point. Naalala ko si Manny Reyes, my best friend then, ay nagsabi siyang pumunta siya roon. Tapos lumabas yung balita na andyan na yung mga eroplano ni Marcos, although it was probably just a hoax, psychological warfare. Eh, narinig niya, andyan na rin yung mga eroplano ni Marcos, tumakbo siyang pauwi. So, ganun yung sitwasyon ng mga tao. Sige, laban tayo. Pero pag andyan na, takbuhan. Well, but the real key there is Marcos really relented from bombing Aguinaldo that time. So, by the next day, people swelled by the thousands. And by the evening of the second day, million was already barricading Aguinaldo, and it was at that point that they transferred to Crame. Kaya yan ang inaalala na pag yung crossing over na yon, kapag itong mga military ay nag-alala ng People Power Revolution, that is what they reenact, the crossing over from Aguinaldo to Crame. So dito rin, another key event na nangyari sa shift ng loyalty was the Air Force na pinadala, inutusan, na bombahin na itong Aguinaldo at that point. So, General Sotelo, leading the cast of Air Force men, andyan yung kanilang helicopter, and it was expected that they will bomb Aguinaldo. At ang sinabi ron sa loob, I read all the account, the many accounts of what happened inside. The soldiers were now hugging each other, ready to die. And instead of bombing, the helicopters landed on Aguinaldo and shifted loyalty. That's another key event because from that, naging bandwagon effect sa military. When this key personnel of the military ay nag-shift loyalty doon, sunod-sunod na yung loyalty change ng mga military. And then, of course, people power barricade. And what happened next, February 25, 1986, was the oath-taking of Cory and Doy at Club Filipino. Spanish ambassador yan, kaya club, hindi club, Club Filipino. So oath-taking, both of Doy and Cory, nasa jeep na kami noon, naririnig ko yung talumpati nila Doy at Cory. Papunta na kami ng EDSA. Well, hindi kami papahuli. This is history. So we were there going to EDSA. And then, on the evening of that day, February 25, 1986, Marcos and his company, his family, and cronies, kasama rin sila, Kuwangko at iba pa, ay inilipad, akala raw niya sa Paway, inilipad pala sa Hawaii via Guam. Paway, Ilocos, Norte ang iniisip niya, inilipad siya sa Hawaii. So, with the flight of Marcos, history was made. So, yun ang nangyari. Hinangaan tayo ng buong mundo. Naalala ko na cover story tayo ng lahat ng international magazines. And not only that, Cory Aquino at the end of the year was declared Person of the Year by Time Magazine. The only Filipino so declared na Person of the Year in the year 1986. And may mga sumunod na mga bansa dahil sa ginawa dito sa Pilipinas. Poland followed. And then later on, other countries such as Czechoslovakia, people power became the in thing. I also remember I went abroad, studied in London Theological Seminary in 1988. People would approach me and ask about these things 2 years after, and they were still amazed at what happened. So we did have a lot of investment in terms of admiration all by the world at what Filipinos did. What happened since then? So yan ang tinatanong natin. Dalawang bagay yung gusto kong tingnan natin. By the way, this is not the definitive analysis of what has happened since then. This is a personal reflection on what has happened in order to challenge and to provoke discussion. Gusto kong tingnan sa dalawang bagay. Ano yung mabuting bunga ng People Power 86, and then ano yung patuloy pa rin na lumalala simula noong People Power 1986. It would have been something of a revolutionary undertaking. Something could have been changed radically. Well, things changed. Things got other things got worse. And what are those? Sa mabuting bunga ng People Power 1986, dalawang bagay gusto kong tingnan na undisputable. Unang-una, talagang nanumbalik yung kalayaan. We cannot dispute that. After Marcos was thrown, ang nangyari, Cory and Doy took over, and what happened was the 1986 Constitution, and the 1986 Constitution, kasunod noon, sunod-sunod na mga dyaryo ang lumabas, malaya na yung pamamahayag. So there was now regular election. There was now smooth transition of power. In fact, since then, only 2001 was the exception when there was no peaceful transition of power. Every election year, a peaceful transition of power. Yan ay because of 1986. And not only that, we now have a judiciary which was more or less autonomous, of course, with the lead of the Supreme Court. Hindi ganyan noong panahon ni Marcos. Panahon ni Marcos, ang tukso nga doon sa Chief Justice ay tagapayong ni Imelda. Si Chief Justice Fernando. Lagi siya nakikita ang tagapayong ni Imelda. Eh, yung Supreme Court noon, rubber stamp ni Marcos. Gumawa kuno ng isang batasang pambansa na naging rubber stamp din ni Marcos. Kaya walang tunay na kalayaan, although we had all the paraphernalia of a democratic country, yet there was no real freedom, no real autonomy as far as the institutions were concerned. They were all rubber stamps of the dictator. After 1986, there was a real freedom. In fact, I would say, too much freedom happened. Eh, yan ay isang mabuting bagay. Ang kalayaan ay mabuting kasangkapan sa lipunan. Pinag-aralan natin ito kamakailan tungkol sa democracy with the voice of the people. And it is a good thing for people to be free. We believe that of all the options, democracy is the best, not because it is perfect, it has a lot of loopholes and a lot of imperfections, but in a society of sinful men and women, democracy is the best option. As Churchill said, it is the worst form of government with the exception of every other form. Kumbaga, maraming masama sa democracy, but in a society of sinful men and women, it is the best option, and I believe so. And so, we became democratic as a result of People Power 1986. And na-restore ang democracy, mabuting bagay ito. Ngunit, gusto kong sabihin, ang kalayaan na walang bakod ng responsibilidad ay self-destructive. Namiminsala ng sarili. And I feel that that's what happened as well. Too much freedom without a sense of responsibility. Without that confusion. Value of community interest. Yan daw ang Pilipinas. Napapaligiran ng mga bansa na merong Confucian ethics. So, hindi nila maisip yung kultura ng Pilipinas na napakalaya ng mga pamamahayag, banat dito, banat doon, sa halip na isipin mo na yung komunidad. Well, I believe that there is truth to that. We are too free in our press, we are too free in our expression, so much so that there is very little community interest na hinahanap muna bago yung individual freedom. Well, but we must acknowledge that what legacy People Power 86 did and bequeathed us ay freedom, nanumbalik ang kalayaan. At isa pa, ay nagkaroon tayo ng mga positive opportunities. After People Power 1986, as I have said, hinangaan tayo ng mundo. Naalala ko si Cory paid a state visit to America and gave a great speech in the Joint Congress, and people were giving her standing ovation, which they said was unprecedented as far as a foreign visitor was concerned. So we had that investment na hinangaan tayo ng mundo. Kung nagamit natin yon, eh siguro marami tayong nakuhang pagkakataon. Nagkaroon tayo ng paglago na pangkabuhayan. We had economic instances of growth, which probably peaked during the Ramos regime. During the Ramos regime, na feature tayo again in international magazines because we were then almost moving into the level of tiger economy under the FVR regime. So, andun yung lumapit tayo sa ganung status. But of course, 1997 was the currency crisis that hit Asia. And hindi tayo naka-take off masyado doon. Bukod pa yan, nagkaroon tayo ng domestic peace. Kapayapaang panloob na sa tugatog ito nung magkaroon ng lagdaan, pangkapayapaan sa pagitan ng gobyerno, the Government of the Republic of the Philippines, and the MNLF. Hindi alam ng marami sa atin, libo-libo yung namatay during the peak of warfare between the government, between this the Philippines and the Moro National Liberation Front. Iba pa yan sa MILF. MILF will be a splinter group, but the original group was Moro National Liberation Front under Nur Misuari. So, yun ay nagkaroon ng lagdaang pangkapayapaan, at there was something of great potential because sinasabi nila, Mindanao was the promised land of the Philippines, at dyan marami tayo magagamit pang ekonomiya. So, it was another good opportunity. There was domestic peace, except that after MNLF came MILF. Then, nagkaroon ng mga oportunidad ng reforma sa sistema. Isang magandang halimbawa nito ay yung pagtatapos ng treaty with the Americans on the bases. Now, kung isusuriin ko in my own personal analysis, it was not so much that they were kicked out. Remember, this was Pinatubo. Nag-uusap pa sila, negosasyon pa, ang daming dakdakan. And then, the Americans, through their better instruments, realized Pinatubo is going to erupt. And so, by the thousands, they evacuated. Even when, at that point, Philippine officials were saying, wag muna, wag muna. Pero nagpaanakbuhan na yung mga Amerikano, and I think in a day or two, Pinatubo will erupt and in fact will have an eruption which is considered by volcanologists as the biggest eruption on record. Alala nyo ba yung mga white dusts pa noon na pumalibot sa buong Pilipinas, hindi lamang sa Pilipinas, umabot yan sa ibang Asian countries. So, that's Pinatubo na nagpatalsik dun sa US bases. But even then, the fact that the Senate formally terminated the US bases, we had the guts at last not to be dependent upon the Americans, and also we proved our worth in dun sa Subic. Yan ay sa pangunguna naman ni Gordon, Dick Gordon, ay sa pangunguna niya, bagamat siya yung pinaka nagprotesta na wag munang paalisin ng mga Amerikano, pero nung paalis na, ginamit niya yung kanyang liderato para pagandahin ang Subic. Although our shame was Clark. Ang nangyari dyan ay grabbing nakawan at looting at nabalita yan sa buong mundo. Pero yung pagbabago ng sistema na ipakita ng Pilipinong kaya na sa sarili niyang paa ay makapanindigan, and then nagkaroon tayo ng relasyong maganda sa buong mundo dahil nga sa mga pangyayaring yan. So ang pagkalasap natin ng bunga ng mga ito ay nagpapatunay na kaya natin talaga. We did it in many occasions, in instances, and what that proves is that Filipinos can. Sometimes we can be very cynical of ourselves. Masyado tayong we can be self-critical too much na hindi natin kaya. Pinakita natin na sa mga ganung pagkakataon, kakayanin ng Pilipino. Pero, andyan pa rin siyempre yung pag inuuna yung makalumang interes, naaksaya yung pagkakataon. So we had those opportunities, and I believe those opportunities, many of those opportunities were wasted because of too much self-interest and political interest. So let me move to what remained, what probably even have gotten worse since People Power 1986. I have four to suggest. Una, sa aking palagay, ang katiwalian sa pamahalaan ay lumala. During the time of Marcos, there was corruption. But it was limited to cronies. Kapag merong nag-corrupt na hindi kasama sa kanyang cronies, lagot yun. Pero pag cronies, siyempre, at least limited to his cronies. The Cuwancos, the Benedictos, etc. Yun ang mga nakinabang. Pero pagkatapos niya, ay parang lumala lalo yung katiwalaan sa pamahalaan. At bawat administrasyon ay may angking imahin ng katiwalian. During the time of Cory, I remember Chino Roses was awarded by Cory herself a national award in recognition of his heroism. And during his speech, binanata niya yung Cory administration na lumalala ang katiwalian. Kaya he was courageous, although I thought it was rude na ginamit niya yung pagkakataong in-award siya. Pero the point was, he could see, he could compare, na bago pa lang na patanggal yung Marcos administration, he could see how things were getting worse with not just cronies, but relatives were beginning to, yung katiwalian, kahit sa panahon ni Cory, kahit sabihin natin Cory was free from all that corruption, but nonetheless, her inability to govern and to control. Yung government noon ay nagpalala ng corruption. So, panahon ni Cory, panahon ng FVR administration, ano ang imahe ng corruption noon? The Centennial Scandal. Billion-billion ito na supposedly ay ibuhos sa mga Centennial Development ay hindi maipakita. Kahit pa yung AFP modernization, billion-billion din yan. Walang maipakitang bunga nung modernization ng AFP. So that was during the FVR administration. And then pumasok ang ERAP, anak ng Huweteng. Yan ang maalala natin kay ERAP. At dumating nga sa pagkakatalsik sa kanya, 1998-2001, during the impeachment trial, nung ayaw niyang ipakita ang envelope, yun, napunta lang sa envelope na yun. At nung ayaw ipakita, ay sumabog sa lansangan. At yung inaakala kong once in a lifetime experience in 1986, na duplicate ng 2001, nandun ako uli sa EDSA upang makilahok sa People Power 2. And then, panahon ng kasalukuyang administrasyon, napakarami. Napakarami ng imahe ng katiwalian. Hello, Garcia. ZTE. Sa kasalukuyan, World Bank. At huwag na natin isa-isain, pero ang punto rito ay every administration since Marcos was not free from the stench of corruption sa kanilang administrasyon. At ang punto ko, lumalala. Sa halip na mapigilan, lumala ang katiwalian dahil lumala ang kultura ng pamamahala at walang malakas na bantay sa katiwalian. Ang isang kailangan talaga ay malakas na liderato na talagang susupil sa katiwalian. Hindi tayo nagkaroon ng ganung kalakas na liderato. Mga yung nagtatanong, paano kaya kung si Miriam? Baka tayo naman ay may gera. Pero ikalawang punto, hindi mabagong konstitusyon. Lagi na lang nauwi sa iskandalo ng usaping charter change. Simula pa yan ng pagtatangka na baguhin ito after Cory. Well, Cory of course wanted to retain her legacy. So it would not be expected that the constitution would change during her time. Pero since after her time, ay marami ng usapin na baguhin, lagi na lang nauwi sa skandalo. Alam niyo, itong constitution natin ay maraming provision na hindi na napapanahon. In fact, when it was formed, Cory called for a constitutional commission, and I think there were 48 members, and they were so nationalistic, I would say ultra-nationalistic in their ideas, and they put provisions in the constitution which were of an ultra-nationalistic kind, which is not relevant to our times. Isang halimbawa ay hindi pwedeng magmay-ari ang mga foreigners. Kinakailangan hanggang 40% lang sila at yung nakararami sa Pilipino. Alam nyo ba kahit sa China, walang ganyang provision? Even in China, a foreigner can have 100% ownership. And it's communist. And here we are, because of our so-called nationalist interest, eh ayaw natin magpapasok ng mga dayuhang mamumuhunan para magnegosyo na ang kanilang gusto lang naman ay negosyo, kumita sila, in the process, kikita tayo. Pero we make it a political issue. At kapag merong bidding, kapag natalo yung isang bidder, asahan mo, Supreme Court ang kalalabasan niyan. Kaya yung pamumuhunan na gustong gawin ngayon, kung ituloy man niya, 2 taon pa pagkatapos dahil nasa Korte Suprema. Ganyan ang konstitusyon natin. Walang ganyan sa ibang bansa, pero nasa konstitusyon natin because of the idea of being nationalistic. So economic provisions, political provisions, all that are make the constitution terrible as it is and really need change, pero it cannot be changed dahil napopoliticize palagi. Kaya nasasadlak tayo sa political na interest. Takot nating pagbabago sa isang imperfect constitution. The U.S. Constitution, upon its formal implementation, agad-agad, a few years later, they had 10 amendments. Meron talagang change ka agad. And then, at this time, more than 30 amendments na. Tayo, mahigit na 20 taon, nagpipilit pa rin na parang perpekto itong constitution, hindi magalaw. Isa yan sa to me, as an observer, is very frustrating since People Power 1986. Ikatlo, ito rin ang isang frustrating sa atin, siguro hilig lang talaga ng Pilipino, walang tigil na bangayan. Yung langasangay ng pamahalaan, lagi na lang naglalabanan. Anong nangyayari sa Kongreso natin? Palibasa nga sa Konstitusyon natin, pinilit nating gayahin ang Amerika na merong upper chamber na Senate, and then a lower chamber of the House. I thought then that it was asking for paralysis, and I'm afraid it's proving true that what we're getting is paralysis because we don't have the culture of America, we don't have the maturity of American culture, and we are insisting on an American system without the American maturity. So what do we get? A House na walang katapusang impeachment process, at Senado na walang katapusang investigasyon. The Drilon Senate goes on record, meaning the Senate under the Drilon Senate presidency, goes on record as the least productive of laws in all the records of past Senates. And yet, these are people who think na maganda yung ginagawa nilang kabi-kabilang investigasyon. Sinasabi nila, in aid of legislation, I fear it's in aid of re-election. But the point still is paralysis, gridlock, lagi ang pamahalaan. For several years, wala tayong budget na naipapasa dahil nag-aaway. Eh ang nasa loob natin, kapag hindi na ipasa ang budget, gagamitin mo yung nakalipas na budget. Eh yung ganyan ang nangyari, mabuting yun at mayroon. But for several years, ganun ang nangyari sa atin because of gridlock in the legislature. Malaking hakbang kung tayo magtutulungan, ngunit paurong kapag lagi tayong nagbabangayan, yan ang nangyayari. At huli, ay may presensya tayo ng masyadong militanteng makakaliwang pwersa. Ang ginagawa nito lagi ay ingay. They're in the minority, but they are the loudest. Loudest in the streets, loudest in media. They always gain mileage in media, and that's one thing that I get frustrated about is why they always get the news even though they're very much in the minority. Eh, lahat na ng hakbang ng pamahalaan, ano man ang gawin, maingay ang pagtutol. Lagi yung pagtutol ay para bang this is hell. Sa halip na I want debate. I want intelligent debate. A debate that shows why one position is in error, show it intelligently. But what are we getting? Noise. Noise without intelligence. And this is frustrating in our country. Kung magtatalo tayo, mabuti magtalo, yan ay pahagi ng demokrasya. Pero pagtatalo na maghihikayat batay sa matalinong ebidensya. And that is not what we are getting. So, whatever good we got from People Power 1986, I believe that there are very bad things that are still going on that we need to address as a country. Pero ang hamon dito sa atin, napatunayan natin na kaya natin. Kung talagang siseryosohin natin yung mga usapin sa ating bansa, kaya natin mga Pilipino kung matuto lang tayong unahin ang makabayang interes. Iyan yata ang wala sa nakararaming Pilipino at yung mga naghahangad mamuno sa politika ay mukhang wala rin. At isang bagay ito na patuloy nating ipanalangin na maisakatuparan dito sa ating bayan. Proverbs 29 verse 2 tells us, if the righteous are in authority, ang bayan ay nagsasaya. Ngunit kapag ang masama ay namumuno, ang bayan ay sinabi magbubuntong hininga. Awit 118 verse 9, mas mabuti ang manganlong sa Panginoon kaysa magtiwala sa mga pinuno. And Psalm 146:3, huwag kayong magtiwala sa mga pinuno na walang kaligtasan. So naniniwala tayo na ginagamit ng Panginoon ang mga pinuno. Panalangin natin sila at lagi natin ginagawa yan sa ating iglesia. Ipinapanalangin sila, subalit hindi tayo umaasa sa kanila. Ang inaasahan natin ay ang kilos ng Panginoon sa ating bayan. At sana ito ang maging hamon sa atin. Any thought? Any thought you'd like to share? Your own reflection since 1980. Sige po, Ate Linda.
Natutuwa ako na admire niyo yung 1986, which ako kasi matanda na nung 1972, the martial law, which is wala ako kasing against dun eh. When Cory Aquino sit in power, call it power because I don't believe on her, okay? And then when she first came visit the United States, I was at the White House. My boss is working as an Associated Press. And I asked him, can you give me Associated Press thing so I can see Cory Aquino? She brought at least so much reporters, which half of them did not go home anymore. They stayed there behind, which I talked to them because they cannot find a way, so I showed them the way how to go to the blue line and orange line. or the red line. You know, the red line is in the center of Washington, D.C. And then, as you mentioned, that first woman or first Filipino being in the Time magazine, my boss also is Anne Blackman, which is Time magazine editor of Washington, D.C. She doesn't believe on her. She said, maybe she's, she just did this what she called. I think in the Philippines, Filipino are good people. But it's always true. Money talk, bullshit walk. That's what she said. She called that in Time magazine, which it happened that I like politics, so I like to stay in Washington, D.C. Kahit ba ako eh. And when Marcos time, kasi kami OFW, kami mga unang OFW sa state, mga DH. Panahon kasi ni Marcos, we don't have to pay taxes as a OFW. Pero nung umapo si Aquino, we have to pay double taxation. Misa, pag pumunta ka sa embassy nung panahon ni Aquino, oh, they say, oh, the country need the money, and we, you know. I say, why? Why do we have to pay? The Marcos time, we don't have to pay because we are OFW. We are, they call us, what? Hero. The living hero of the Philippines, which is true. We are the one who's paying the bills because we send so much money. And then when Fidel Ramos said, I was in also in the Netherlands, which is our tax double, because I was married to a Dutch guy, already paid to the Dutch government, and then I had to pay also to the Philippine government, so that's dual taxation. It happened that I became a president of Samahan there, so I questioned the Philippine embassy, and they said, okay, you can get out of it. So after 2 years, I gave up. So now I came back to this country because I love this country. I never changed my citizenship, which I was approached by the government, because I love this country. I don't see any difference, you know. At least in Marcos time, we don't have to pay tax. And then now we have to pay double taxation. And then now it's getting worse. Only people who has money can go to the position. You don't have anything. Even pong barangay, they have to spend million. I don't know why. Now I know, because one signature, they get 20,000, because. So I'm sad that 1986 was, as you call it, to free us. But I don't think so. It's free for those rich people, but for people like us, poor people, I want to change. I want to see really change. Because I feel sorry for those Filipino people who doesn't eat anymore, and then those rich people only pay 5%, and the factory worker pay how much? 38% automatically. So as a pastor, I admire your sincerity as a thing, because Pastor Wood called me a brutal, honest, brutality honest. That's what he called me. So I like to say what I want. It's not, and I think as a pastor and all everybody here, please pray the government official should be approachable, not untouchable. If you go to the government thing, you can see all these things. So is that freedom? I'll ask. For my opinion, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's really hurting my feeling. I feel sorry for this country, which I love so much. I came back to live in this country after 22 years. But I cry sometimes for Filipinos. I hope you don't mind being against everything. But I love this country. First, I love God. And I ask God, please guide. Sabi ko nga, pag ako naging presidente, kulungan mo na ang aking paggagawa kasi yan dahil masasama, so you have to put everything in jail. Everybody's in jail. Okay. I'm not running for president, so don't worry. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you po, and welcome back to the Philippines. It's exciting time, so. Suzette.
Interest na makabayan, kagaya sa history natin at saka sa
Well, when you analyze corruption, the tendency to corruption, yes, it's rooted in many factors, including regionalism or tribalism, clannish culture, and the fact that we had a colonial long history, and government for many Filipinos was something you had to get round with, yung palusot. Kasi nga, colonial, nasanay tayo na magpalusot sa gobyerno, government was interventionist as far as our culture was concerned. So, our culture was cut out for corruption, pero it's something that we need to change by way of education, character formation, culture change. Ito yung mga kailangan natin, but tama na sa nakalipas natin, andun yung mga factors why we are merong tendency to corruption. Walang community interest. Well, kinakalan, tingnan natin sa ating personal na pakikipag-ugnayan sa mga pamahalaan. Baka nagpupuna tayo ng corruption and then tayo ay nakikipag-fix sa para mapadali yung papers natin. Well, those are things we need to personalize. Other thoughts? Tito Ike.
I was also one of the first OFWs who believed in their values. I was an advisor of Ferdinand Marcos before. Mm-hmm. Because when I was in Prager student, he was one of our guests to the Constitution Day, February 7th of the nation. I prefer to live in a country without government but with everyone good, to government as a country with religion. Without religion, without government, but with religion. In short, naniniwala na ang pananampalataya o pagiging Kristiyano ng Pilipinas ay isang magandang alituntunin ng isang patagalaga.
Record para.
Are we also recording the discussion?
Anything that we'll say will not be used against me. Anyway, Marcos had what we call the unbridled or unmoderated greed later on. In the first years of martial law, I was then a worker under various projects of the First Lady. And I happened to be a training officer at Project Compassion, which really the first days, it was welcome in the rural areas under Attorney Binamira, the founder of Community Development of the Philippines. So I agree that nowadays, we have too much freedom. Our press, our freedom of speech, and even the lowly militants. Nakakita ba kayo ng isang labandera halimbawa na lumalapas tangan sa ating Pangulo dahil sa sila ay nagra-rally? And this is also a fault of our Congress because they recognize the Communist Party of the Philippines, which was not recognized before. If you are a communist, you are against the law. But now we have the Communist Party as legalized party in the Philippines. That's why marami ho tayong mga party list. Marami at sila ang nagsasabi na basta may rally dyan. And I happen to make a statement to a bayan representative na pumunta sa barangay na nagangapa niya at sinabi ko, saan ba na pupunta ang yung allocation na pork barrel ng mga party list. Hindi ba ginagamit ito para sa rally? Hindi makasagot. Anyway, there is too much freedom, and I agree with Senator Santiago na sabi niya, mayroon tayong culture na very vulnerable sa corruption. Kahit sa kung minsan, hindi tayo makapunta sa opisina, kukuha pa tayo ng padrino. Mayroon tayo pa yung kinatawag na utang na loob. And this is abused sometimes. Na kasi yung ating mga leaders ay tumatanaw ng utang na loob sa mga nagbibigay sa kanila ng mga support. Ganon din ang mga Pilipino na during election, ipinagbibili ang kanilang boto. And sino ang iboboto mo? Ako, sino may pira dyan? So in short, there is a vicious cycle in which hindi natin malaman kung saan magsisimula. Hindi tayo makapagsimula sa itaas. Pero ngayon, sa nakikita natin, yung mga presidentiables, nangangampanya na. Mayroong mga itik dyan. Mayroong mga gamot na masyadong lumalala at gumagrabe ang sakit dahil mataas ang gamot. These are election campaigning under the guise of ito. Siguro, there should be a law on this. At saka isa pa, the bulwark of morality on our country, considered to be the Christian nation, kung minsan, they are nakikialam na rin sa politika, and then this, no, it is a muddled one. Radical politics is muddled. So I do not know. I would say na kinakailangan magsimula tayo sa masa, and I think religion or whatever you sect do you belong, kinakailangan ang morality na pairalin natin even during election time, na alam naman natin we will be able to distinguish what is good and bad for our country.
Okay, salamat po. Those are good thoughts. Talagang isang problema sa freedom is when you're too free without responsibility. And I think is isang problema ng mga kababayan natin. I also believe, on the other hand, that one thing that God has used in providence sa change ng mga societies, of course, there's religious revival and reformation. It's also true that when there are very good and strong leaders, they can effect change in society. So that combination of good and strong leadership is many times hindi nakikita sa ating bayan, na isang patuloy nating ipanalangin na mangyari. Jean.
Pastor, reflection. I'm a Marshallo baby. Naturuan ako nung 19... Nag-start ako na elementary in 1971. And then finished schooling in 1985. So you could say na talagang yung schooling ko ay during the Marcos time. Kasama rin ako na pumunta sa EDSA. Pero ang point ko doon, nung time ni Marcos, na abstract, tinanggal sa aking kamalayan yung historical roots. Honestly, I don't know our history. Kahit nung college, nasa UP, pero wala ring history subject nung time na yon. And naisip ko lang, and then I studied sa Malaysia, at mas alam pa nila yung history ko. Many of their people are named Rizal. And kinikwento pa nila sa akin ano ang ginawa nitong mga heroes na to in the Philippines. So I feel sorry for myself na yung education ko noon, tinanggal yung pagtuturo nung what great men we had to free our nation from mga yung sumasakop sa ating bayan. Pero but I don't want to parang always blame Marcos for that.
Yeah.
Sa ngayon, marami naman tayong pwedeng basahin na magagandang mga history books at marami na rin mga material. So yun yung reflection ko na nangyari man yon, pero hindi naman laging, hindi mo matututunan yung history. You can still know and get inspired dun sa mga heroes of the past na kung ano tayo ngayon ay ginamit sila ng God para maging magkakuha tayo ng freedom and to live in this free country now.
That's a good point. We need to know our history, and this is something that we need to develop in our educational curriculum, na magkaroon ng consciousness yung mga kabataan natin sa paglaki nila to be proud of being Filipino. And one thing to do that is the study of history. Well, ngayon, anong attitude ng mga Pilipino sa kanilang sariling bayan, eh, makikita mo yan sa pila sa US Embassy at sa iba pang mga embassies nag-uunahan na makaalis sa kanilang bansa. Na ikwento ko nga sa inyo, nangyari sa Israel, di ba, noong 1973, Yom Kippur War, simultaneous attack from Egypt in the south, Syria on the north, and it appeared that Israel would be toppled by these two Arab countries. Syempre, they were also fighting heroically. What happened was something the world simply was amazed at. Israelis in other countries, by their thousands, returned to Israel. They needed to fight for their country. Sa Pilipinas kaya yun, atakihin tayo ng Malaysia sa south, at let's say, kunwari Japan na north, pipila tayo sa airport para umalis. Yan ang mangyayari. It is reflective of the attitude of many Filipinos sa ating bansa. Kinakailangan i-build up natin yung ating pride of country, and that is done through history, understanding of our history. So, by the Ambet Ocampos for human interest of history, for scholarly treatment of Philippine history, the best is Onofre Corpus, his two volumes on the history of the Filipino people, is one of the best. Suset. Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. First of all, let me say na the first instinct of the Christian towards government should always be submission. If we base it on Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, Titus 3, walang pasubali, the biblical teaching is that we submit to government. When Paul wrote Romans 13, the emperor of that time was one of the most evil men in history, Nero. Nero, marami siyang pinapatay, pag-torture. And yet, Paul could say that even such a man, as long as he wields his power for justice, tinawag niya siyang minister of God. Although, of course, unconsciously, kasangkapan siya ng Panginoon. At yan dapat ang lagi nating approach. You may not like personally the one in power, but the one in power is there because of God's providence. You have to submit. Yung una kong sasabihin, of course, hindi ibig sabihin na we blind ourselves to the faults of government. So, alam natin yon. Anong magagawa, for one, in the case ng Christians, is counterculture. You don't live their lifestyle of corruption or whatever, and you live an alternative lifestyle. For the church, it means preaching the gospel in such a way that it spills over. yung impact sa lipunan. At pinatunayan niya ng kasaysayan. Marami akong maibabahagi na sa pangangaral ng Ebanghelyo, nagkaroon ng impact sa lipunan. England was thought in the 1700s, 1789 was the French Revolution. After 1789, there was the Reign of Terror in France led by Robespierre. Kayo mga kabataan, you should be reading not only Philippine history but world history. And inaakala na yung England ay susunod sa France sa kanilang Reign of Terror, except that there was the Methodist Revival in England. And it averted what could have happened in England. In other words, the preaching of the gospel had spillover effect. Hindi nakilahok ang iglesia sa politika. Yan ang ginagawa ng mga iglesia, ng mga simbahan ngayon. Hindi nakilahok, kundi pinangaral lamang ang ebanghelyo at nagkaroon ng impact sa lipunan. At yan ang kailangan natin para magkaroon ng pagbabago. At dapat maniwala tayo na kayang magbago. Kapag i-give up na natin yung bansa natin, ay lalong lalala. Kailangan natin ng diwa ni Elias. Ayan, Elias na nung... Diba, nung siya ay mamamatay na sa Noli Metanghere, textbook pa ba yung Noli sa college? It is? High school? Oh, sa amin nung high school. Doon sa Noli, it's my favorite scene when mamamatay na si Elias at binigay niyan si Basilio ng kanyang itinagong kayamanan. At nung mamamatay, sinabi niya yung salita na mamamatay siya sa takip silim ng kanyang bayan. At ang sabi niya, kayong gigising sa bukang pagbubukang liwayway, huwag niyong kalimutan na hindi lahat ay natutulog sa gabing madilim ng ating inang bayan. So yan ang point, na kung iniisip niyong gabing madilim ito ng ating inang bayan, e anong ginagawa natin? Natutulog ba tayo? Kinakailangan gising tayo, hindi natin iniwanan, kundi may ginawa tayo para sa ating bayan. Any other thought you like to share? So isang kailangan natin yung mga talagang may wisdom. Kung titingnan natin yung Proverbs, ang kailangan sa isang leader ay wisdom, and then courage, and yung talagang inuulit-ulit sa isang democracy, political will. We don't see much of that combination sa ngayon. Jojo.
Hello. May nakausap po ako, Pastor, na isang labor group leaders at pinag-usapan natin ngayon pagiging makabayan. Ang sabi ko sa akin ay, ang hirap kasi dito sa Pilipinas, sa ngayon wala nga tayong dayuhang na maapi, pero nung Pilipina, angos ang nakaapi sa atin, sabi ko naman, dahil nga sa kolonyal technology. So yung mga nasa maliit na gano'n, talagang naapi at natatamahan. Ngayon, yung pong sinasabi natin na bakit lumilipat o tatrabaho sa ibang bayan yung mga magagawa natin, kung titingnan po natin, pinakamaraming halos na ibang bayan na yung pong halos na sa domestic level person po. Nung pong nakampanya si Brother Eddie Villanueva noon, halos 5,000 people na po ang pumipila sa immigration para sa pag-apply ng trabaho sa ibang bayan. Ang dahilan nga po ay walang trabaho dito sa ating bayan ng Buma. At kung meron na, napakaliit po ng sweldo. Kung halimbawa po, La Bandera, ordinaryo ng gagawa lang po ito, paano raw po ito makapagpaaral ng isang anak sa kolehiyo, ng lima o tatlong kanyang anak? Ganun din naman isang ordinaryo construction worker. So kailangan niya magtrabaho para ng ibang alternatibong trabaho. At nakikita nga po ay yung sa ibang bansa. Ang tingin nga po ay parang wala na makuhang trabaho sa ating bayan. Totoo po yan, kada taon may gumagraduate, kulang ang trabaho po. At talaga naghahanap sa ibang bayan ng trabaho. At sabi nga niya, magpasalamat tayo na mayroong trabaho din sa ibang bayan. At magpasalamat tayo na may tatrabaho din sa ibang bayan ng Pilipino. Dahil dyan, nakakatulong sila sa ating bayan nga sa mga papadala ng dollars dahil dyan parang nakakasurvive kung gugulong ang ating bayan at ang ating ekonomiya. So sabi niya, ganyan kasi ang sitwasyon sa ating bayan eh. Nahihirapan yung ating magagawa, ang sweldo maliit, maliit, at hindi rin babago halos. Kaya kung sabi nga niya, parang mismo mga kababayan pa natin na kumakapi sa ating kapapit. Yung kanina kung bakit nga po daw nabibig pa itong tatakos ni Pagpala.
Okay.
So sabi niya, ang gobyerno natin talagang mahirap asahan sa ngayon. Kaya nga, kumahanap ka lang ng paraan para makasurvive at makatulong din sa pamilya mo at sa bayan natin.
Okay, so let me say na I have nothing against Filipinos working abroad. I am against mothers working abroad and leaving their children behind. But the working abroad as such, to me, is not wrong. Pero on the other hand, if everything is measured economically, when Israel began as a nation in 1948, yung mga kinikita nila kagaya rin ng reklamo natin ngayon, but they stayed on. In other words, they stuck with their country until nag-prosper. So, ang punto ko pa rin ay, yes, there's nothing wrong about working abroad. I feel there is something wrong for mothers abandoning their children to work abroad. But on the other hand, isipin din natin ang para sa talagang ikabubuti ng ating bayan. So, kailangan natin pa rin, if we look at this in terms of government, kailangan natin ng mga mamamahala na may karunungan, may political will, malakas na leader, strong leadership is what Filipinos respond to, and that is something that we really need. Kaya itong isang patuloy nating ipanalangin, nakita natin na kaya natin kung talagang ibibigay natin yung ating sarili ng buong puso, may kaya natin gawin. Pero kailangan natin talaga ng mga leader na gagabay sa atin ng may karunungan at may katapangan. Hindi gaya nung narinig nyo ba yung kwento ng isang gusto lang magpasikat na leader. Siya ay inassign as OIC nung nag-abroad yung director ng NEDA. Fiction lang siguro to. gusto niya magpasikat, wala naman siya talaga alam sa ekonomiya, tumawag siya agad ng meeting. At doon sa meeting, yung population ng Natalakay, sabi sa kanya, "Sir, ayon po sa statistika, may isang babaeng nanganganak kada minuto." Sabi niya, gusto niya magpasikat, "Aba, malaking problema to. Madali, hanapin ang babaeng yun." Ang punto ko lamang ay kailangan natin ng talagang karunungan na sa ating mga lider at sa mga namamahala sa atin para maitaguyod ang ating bansa. Kailangan natin ng ganun at kaya natin kung mangyari iyon sa ating bayan. Kaya People Power 1986, there are things we can be thankful for, and yet there are things that still cry out for change in our country, and let us believe that by God's blessing and common grace, it can yet happen. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, kinikilala ka naming Diyos ng mga bansa. Siyang may control ng probidensya at ng kilos ng kasaysayan. At sa iyo kami umaasa, Panginoon, gaya ng sinabi ng iyong salita, hindi kami maaring umasa sa mga magtiwala sa mga pinuno. Kinakailangan namin manganlong sa Panginoon. Kaya ito ang aming daing ng puso sa iyo na magdalang habag ka sa aming bayan. Salamat sa kalayaang naging bunga ng People Power 1986, ngunit nakikita pa rin namin na nasasadla kami sa maraming mga bagay pa rin na kailangan naming umunlad sa aming kultura pa rin ng katiwalian, sa aming konstitusyon na kailangan pang baguhin, sa patuloy na mga bangayan sa aming lipunan, at panalangin namin, Panginoon, na magdalang habag ka sa bayan na ito. Gamitin mo kami mga mananampalataya na maging asin at ilawan sa aming kinaroroonan, maging impluensya sa pagbabago ng kultura, at ang aming iglesia kasama ng marami pa ay maging matapat sa pangangaral ng ebanghelyo na siyang magiging daan sa pagbabago ng lipunan. Panalangin namin, Panginoon, na dumating ang araw na bigyan mo kami ng isang lider sa aming pamahalaan na may karunungan, may katapangan, at magagabayan ang bayan sa dapat nitong direksyon. Kaya muli, umaasa kami sa iyo at naway gamitin mo ang ganitong mga pag-iisip upang hamunin kami na kami ay tunay na maging impluensya sa pamumuhay na sumusunod sa aming Panginoong Hesukristo. Panalangin namin ito sa pangalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Amen. Amen.